Good morning, everyone. You know, there is great wisdom that is available to each and every one of us when we come to the end of a journey if we take the time to look back and to reflect carefully. Often we call that 2020 hindsight. So as we begin our morning, I want to introduce you to someone who's come to the end of this part of his journey. His name is Nathan Park. He's one of the awesome young adults here at the River. He's at the end of his time here in San Jose, and on Thursday, he's leaving on a jet plane for a beautiful place with warm water and a lovely friend. Since we are in a season in which we are asking God to lead us to another level of relational wholeness, I've asked Nathan to share his reflections on the challenges and the gifts of forming meaningful community here in Silicon Valley. So would you please offer a warm welcome to Nathan Park.
Good morning. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Hi, I'm Nathan Park. And this will actually be my last Sunday here at the River. So maybe a first that I'm meeting you and some of you in a last, as I'll be relocating to Oahu, Hawaii, this Thursday to start the next chapter of my life. And Pastor Brad had asked me to share some words of my experience of the challenges and the gifts of community and forming meaningful bonds before I go. And it's actually been a really great exercise as I reflect on my last 5 years here in San Jose and the past 2 years here at the River. And I thought about what do I share? You know, I could share about the challenges and the joys of building meaningful relationships through doing communal faith-centered living with 10 other interns for Servant Partners, where we shared our finances, our joys, and our struggles. I could share about living through a pandemic with these same housemates in the midst of wildfires and racial uprisings. I could share about the amazing coworkers I've met in my 4 different jobs in 5 years here in the Valley. I could share about living with 2 different couples that had children while I lived there and getting to be an uncle. But I want to share the story of actually how I ended up at the River 2 years ago. And to be honest, the River was not my first choice church. I was coming out of COVID, having gone through a really challenging faith season, a crisis, so to speak. And ultimately, I came to the conclusion that, one, I still believe in God. That's good. I believe in his resurrection, and I needed a spiritual community to grow alongside. But which one? There are so many. So began the church shopping for the perfect church for me, a similar activity I had done in the past with other churches, with friend groups, with social clubs, etc., looking for meaningful places and people where I could feel a sense of belonging and that fit me just right. And I remember wanting my next church to have a robust and established young adult community to fill the social and emotional gaps I experienced during shelter in place. I visited a number of churches around the Bay, and I thought I had found a great church, but it was 25 minutes away by car. And at that time, I didn't own a car, only my bike. And so upon realizing the logistical limitations of what I was working with, I chose the River because I could bike here in under 10 minutes. But 2 years ago, the River was also emerging from COVID and didn't have a strong young adult group presence and was rebuilding that, or any specific young adult ministry to care for my needs, to welcome me, to be my people, to make me feel like I belonged. And so I prayed, and I felt God calling me to the River and to be present, even though I don't see what I feel like I need from this community present, as my only criteria for the next church was that they had an established young adult community. And of course, God surprised me in meaningful ways. Fast forward 2 years, it took some time, but God has allowed me to be be part of rebuilding some of the young adult community here. We've established a growing group of young adults meeting weekly, delicious meals and hosting provided by Daniel and Miranda, meals mostly by Miranda. And God has given me a multi-generational community here at the River, where I have friends from youth to young adults to elders and seniors, and a community that has taught me how to love my neighbor really well. And it is also the place where I met my now partner and girlfriend, who is the reason that I am moving to Hawaii this week. And so, what blessings indeed. What amazing community. What amazing joy that the Lord has blessed me with. And how narrow my view of what I thought I needed when looking for a church, when God really knew what I needed. And I think as a takeaway, what I've learned and have been taught and humbled in these 5 years, that making meaningful bonds and the search for connecting are not always about me and what I think I need. Otherwise, I would not have landed here at the River. Instead, I've learned that sometimes my search for meaningful relationships actually starts with asking God what He is calling me to be present in, right here in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in my home, my gym, my community. And this is really hard, as building a sense of community with people can sometimes require patience, steadfastness, staying through conflict, and even doubt of whether I'm in the right place. The River has been one of the biggest blessings that God has given me, and has been through this process of when I've decided to actually let go of my own expectations and to let God fill in those cracks. And so I think I want to just express deep gratitude to this community and a lot of thanks for how you have held me and blessed me and allowed me to be part of something really incredible here in San Jose. And it has been a reminder that God has been faithful to me. And so to Him be the glory. Thank you.
I so appreciate Nathan's thoughtfulness and his going to a place where some of us could visit for more than one reason. And I would like to invite us to not only appreciate Nathan's thoughtfulness, but to let his thoughtfulness about his own journey lead us into our own reflection about the state of our relational world. What is it that we are investing in and building? You could think of it from your own personal perspective. If your relational world was a vineyard, in this particular season, what condition would it be in? And that's a non-judgmental question. It simply is whatever it is in this season. But is your relational world flourishing? Is it bearing good fruit in this season? Is it colorful, vibrant, sweet? Does it have the makings of fine wine and celebration? Are there people for whom you could offer thanksgiving? Is there joy in your relational world? Or is it possible that your relational world is languishing in some way? Is it possible in this season that with respect to your relational world, you feel frustrated, you feel plateaued, you feel caught up in some sort of dynamic that's unpleasant or even toxic? Or it's possible, is it not, to have fruit that looks like fruit in our lives but doesn't taste very good, that the fruit of our relational world is bland, like some piece of fruit that was cut off the vine 4 weeks ago in some other part of the world and shipped across the seas here because it would be cheaper, but it doesn't really taste like a strawberry or a mango. It just looks like one. It's possible to have the outer workings of relational fruit in our lives. Yes, I have people that I hang out with, but to have relationships that are not sweet, that are not nourishing, so to speak. You know what I mean? It's possible to have relationships in which we are filling up time with people, but those relationships aren't strengthening us for the journey that's ahead. They're not making us new or renewed on our inside. It's possible always in Silicon Valley for our relational world to be in some sort of transition, to seemingly overnight, having gone from the experience of a time when our relational world seemed happy and fulfilling, and then to arrive at another space in our lives where it feels different somehow and is in need of adjustment. Our relational experience, our communal experience, is dynamic, so to speak. What are you feeling in this season about the vineyard of your communal life? These are questions that are of primary spiritual importance, because community, in the biblical view, in the view of Jesus, is sacramental. Michelle took us to a text in John chapter 15 last week. I'll just quote a couple of short verses. In John 15, 14, Jesus said some of the most beautiful words of the New Testament. He said, "You are my friends. I never wanted you just to be servants. I never wanted you just to get my work done. You are my friends." So central to the good news, central to the gospel that we embrace and celebrate, is that you and I are desirable to the living Christ. Jesus desires your attention. He desires your company. He desires conversation with you about the things that are most aching in your soul and about the things that he is most passionate in the world about, that he wants you to share in. And we are his friends. We enjoy friendship with him if we do what he commands. Now, for those of us who are somewhat thick-skulled, won't point out anyone in particular, Jesus says what his command is in verse 17. He says, "This is the command that I am talking about, that you love each other." And if you're a reader of the New Testament, you know how profound that statement is, because Jesus' disciples, his 12, they were knuckleheads, you know? And they didn't naturally get along with one another. They wouldn't have chosen one another for friends. They had different perspectives in life. They had different personalities, different temperaments, different political and religious intuitions about how they put the pieces of the Bible even together, the Old Testament for them. They would not have gotten along except that Jesus told them that part of what it meant to enjoy his friendship was for them to apply themselves to the task of getting along and loving one another. Community, my friends, is sacramental. That means when we invest in relational bonds, when we include the unlovely, when we take the time to get out of ourselves to encourage, exhort, or build up another person, when we risk vulnerability, as they will at the women's storytelling time and at the men's barbecue, when we risk vulnerability to not just say goodbye, but to let our inner being be made known to one another, something mysterious happens. The heart of Jesus swells with joy, and if we recognize that joy, we will grow in friendship with him. We will grow in friendship with one another, and we will grow in friendship with him. And when we say that community is sacramental, we have to say that the opposite is also true. That when we resist the prompting of Jesus to extend generosity to one another, generosity of our stuff or generosity of soul, when we resist mercy, when we resist forgiveness, when we hold on to our resentments, when we sit in judgment upon one another, when we resist the urging and the prompting of Jesus to extend his overflowing into the lives of others, we distance ourselves from the heart of Jesus. We could never separate ourselves from the love of Christ. The Bible tells us this, because God is love through and through, and he could never be other than that. But we can place ourselves in a trajectory where we are moving in opposition to that love. We can place ourselves at odds with the friendship of Jesus. And this is a serious statement to take into account, because I think we could all acknowledge that our cultural context is hostile to the formation of lasting, rich, meaningful friendship and community. We Americans spend less and less time with others. In the very first message of this series, we talked about how it is that over the decades that people in America spend less and less time with one another, and more time on our individualized devices. We seem to be losing the capacity to converse, even as we are gaining the capacity to make money. We are losing our capacity to converse with people who think differently than us, but we're also just losing our capacity to converse. You know, that people spend more and more time, even with people that they love, all alone, focusing on individual devices. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in some of the most poetic words written in the New Testament, warns us against the danger of having our attention drawn away to things that look flashy but eventuate in a minimized life. Even if you aren't a church-going soul, you might have heard these words in a wedding at some point. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, the Apostle Paul said that if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the gift of faith, faith that can move mountains even, if I do not have love, I am nothing. And I think we could paraphrase here and say, Paul is saying, if I do not have a meaningful experience of community that I am building, giving myself to, if I do not have friends that go beneath surface level, even if I can do all these other things, then I am nothing. Paul is saying, if I give all of my possessions to the poor, if I give my body to hardship, to be burned, that I might boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Like Paul is saying here, even if you find a good cause, even if you find a cause that you want to change in the world, even if you think you're making a difference, that if you have not contributed to some form of communal life, if you're not giving yourself away in deeper and deeper friendships, even to people who don't deserve that friendship, then we've accomplished very little. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that when our experience of community is diminished, our humanity is diminished, because friendship is sacramental. So it's important for us all to reflect, are there ways in which our communal life needs attention? Back in that gospel text in John chapter 15, that image of the vineyard, Jesus portrays God the Father as a good gardener who was always present to tend the dynamic conditions of our heart and state of our relational world. In that text, in John 15, 2, he says that even when we're bearing some kind of fruit, he prunes us. He arranges the conditions of our lives so that the fruit of our lives might be more mature, might be more emotionally healthy, we might say, that the fruit of our lives might be sweeter and have greater impact. So what might God, the great gardener, be wanting to tweak in your relational world? For your maturity, for your ascendancy into maturation and holiness, for the blessing of some other person, for the healing the nations. the wisdom literature of the Jewish faith, in a book called The Ethics of the Fathers, says it concisely in this way, that if we want a good life, we should assume for yourself a master, acquire for yourself a friend, and judge every man or woman to the side of merit. That if we want to live a good, full, wholesome life of blessing, we should find ourselves a mentor, because we all need help growing up. We should acquire for ourselves a friend. And here he's talking about a deep, meaningful, spiritual friend, someone with whom we can share the deepest matters of our hearts and speak our deep truths to one another. And when he says, judge every person to the side of merit, I think he's fundamentally saying here that we should not go through the world at a distance simply judging and criticizing other people, but that we should look upon what is beautiful and good. What can we learn from others? How can we grow in friendship? He is saying here, the writer of this ancient text, that we all need spiritual friends if we want to grow up. That this is a human need. It's not a temperamental need. Everyone needs to be growing in spiritual community. Extroverts and introverts need to be growing in spiritual community. That can look different for people of different types, but everyone needs a spiritual friend. People who are people-oriented and people who are task-oriented need spiritual friends if we are to grow up into everything that God intends for us to be. Single people like Nathan, who are only going to be here for a few years and then go off to marry the love of their lives in the most beautiful place in the world, those people need friends. Parents with little kids desperately need friends, even and especially in the season of life in which you're burning the candle at both ends. Older people whose time is running out need friends desperately. Successful midlife professionals who are making more money than you ever dreamed you would make in your life. You need friends more than you need your money. So whatever else you do in your time at the river, whether that amount of time be years, months, or perhaps just the 90 minutes that you are here today, my prayer for you is that you would form at the center of your being an ironclad intention to invest in more meaningful friendships. And that you would have the inner discernment to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit about what sort of adjustment in your life might make you more whole and might make you a blessing to many. Because like Nathan, who shared earlier, your time here will come to an end. One way or another, your time on this earth will come to an end. And when you come to that end, what will you have built? And what will God say about your life? How will you feel about your life? Acquire for yourself a friend. Invest in spiritual community, and you will be rich in the only way that really matters, in the kingdom of God. You will look with gladness and joy upon your life. So let's all take some step. Let's all take some step in this season to grow in wisdom, to make our contribution, to become truly rich in the kingdom of God. Throughout the month of October, we're closing our messages by taking some time in quiet. So there's about 12 minutes of that. In case you haven't been here for the week, so I'll just walk through the process here. After I pray, there will be 2 minutes of silence marked by a chime, a beginning and end of 2 minutes of silence. For some of us, that feels like an eternity. You know, but it takes more than that for us to settle. So we're going to give you 2 minutes just to be still, to entrust all your cares and the racing thoughts of our minds to the God who loves us with everlasting love. There'll be 8 minutes to read and reflect. You received a sheet when you came in. If you slid by people or kind of came in the back door, someone at the back will be there to give you a copy of one. Just take some time to read what's written and to write your response as a way of conversing with the God who longs for your friendship. And then there will be a chime that marks out 2 more minutes of silence for you to rest in the embrace of the God who loves you. Let me pray for us as we enter into that space. God, how unfathomable that you are interested in our presence and in our friendship. So give to us grace to enter into that friendship in these moments, that we might become better, deeper, richer friends for many hurting people in our world. Help us to enjoy this time with you, in Jesus' name.